I'm Michael Lippin, and this is Voice of America's VOA China 360, a weekly podcast looking at how China influences the rest of the world and how China is influenced by the world, including America. This week, we're talking about American home-sharing company Airbnb. It's the most valuable provider of short-term residential accommodation in the world, and it's expanding its profile in China, one of the world's biggest travel destinations. On December 7th, it converted its relatively small China operations into a legal entity called Airbnb China. Airbnb says its new China unit will provide better and more localized services to its growing community of travelers and hosts in the country. Also in recent months, Airbnb agreed to promote tourism to four major Chinese cities. Those agreements grant Airbnb a stamp of official approval from authorities in Shanghai, Shenzhen, Guangzhou, and Chongqing. It's all part of an Airbnb strategy to take on China's top two providers of short-term home rentals, both of them Chinese companies.
I think that Airbnb is taking a fairly measured approach to building relationships and growing its market in China.
That's Arun Sundararajan, professor of management sciences at New York University and author of the book The Sharing Economy, published this year by MIT Press. I asked him what he makes of Airbnb's decision to intensify its activities in China.
I think it's investing very heavily into trying to do things in a way that are tailored to how business works in China, as opposed to going in with a strategy of, okay, this has worked elsewhere in the world, I'm just going to replicate what I've done in other places. You know, it's invested heavily recently into forming agreements and sort of collaborations with, important major Chinese cities. Airbnb has also set itself up to be compliant with a set of data laws in China that are potentially different from the kinds of data laws that you face in other parts of the world.
Under a Chinese law due to take effect next year, Airbnb has to store all data about guest bookings and home listings in China on servers inside the country, where authorities could have access to them. But Sundararajan doesn't think that puts Airbnb at a disadvantage to the competition.
Airbnb is not really moving the needle here in terms of willingness or unwillingness to share data with the government. So staying in an Airbnb does not put your data at any greater risk than using any other sort of hotel-based accommodation service or China-based platform. And so I don't think that this move is going to be a significant consideration for consumers who realize that if they do travel to China and interact with businesses that have operations in China, the data associated with those transactions is subject to Chinese privacy laws, which are different from those in Europe or in the United States.
One issue that does pose a challenge to Airbnb's China ambitions is the overall demand for the type of services it provides.
I think that the market for alternative short-term accommodation or for home sharing is still in its really early infancy in China. It's a tiny, tiny fraction of what it eventually is going to become.
Sundararajan says what keeps the market small is a lack of awareness among many Chinese.
I think the challenge that all the companies that are trying to break into the Chinese market, both the US-based companies and the Chinese domestic companies, are facing is that this concept of staying in the home of someone you don't know, sleeping in a stranger's bed, is still a pretty foreign concept to the average Chinese consumer. And the idea that you turn your apartment over or you turn your home over to someone you don't know is also a concept that Chinese consumers are not yet completely comfortable with. The institutions there are different from, say, United Kingdom or the United States. And as a consequence, the real challenge that these platforms face is coming up with the right mix of here's what I do, here's what the reputation system provides, in a way that starts to make people comfortable with the idea of having a stranger stay in their home, or from the other side, you know, sleeping in a stranger's spare bedroom rather than staying in a hotel room.
Developing that level of comfort is an obstacle Airbnb also had to overcome when it launched in the U.S. in 2008.
It took a little bit of getting used to, and, you know, it took many years of other people doing it before it really has become as mainstream and as it has today. So there's a process of legitimization in some sense, social legitimization that these services go through, where now staying in an Airbnb is part of the cultural dialogue in the United States. Most people know someone who has stayed in an Airbnb. And so the idea, you start to get used to the idea.
One company that has taken a different approach to gaining the trust of Chinese consumers is Tujia, Airbnb's main Chinese rival. It's an approach that has helped Tujia to build up more than 400,000 home listings in China, about five times what the American company has.
They have a different model from Airbnb in the following sense. Rather than the host or the person who owns the property providing the actual accommodation and so on to, you know, the guest, Tujia sort of acts like a property manager. So the role of the individual is really to supply the real estate. And then Tujia sends in their cleaning crew. They manage the transaction with the guest. They layer on top of it a bunch of additional services that make the stay a little more like going through a property manager or actually going to a vacation rental.
To try to catch up with Tujia, Western media say Airbnb is negotiating a possible takeover of China's second biggest home sharing company, Xiaoju. But even if the takeover goes through, can Airbnb really challenge for the number one spot in China by sticking to its original U.S. model for connecting hosts and guests? Here is what NYU's Sundararajan thinks.
Over the last decade or more, we have seen a number of U.S.-based tech platforms try to enter China and become the dominant player and not succeed. China's top social networking site, China's top search engine, China's top ride-sharing platform, all of them are companies that were started and are based in China rather than the global leaders from the United States. I think Airbnb has a real shot at breaking that trend. And part of the reason why I think that they're in a advantageous position relative to the domestic competitor, Tujia, is because I think a lot of the legitimization of this initially will come from international travelers using Airbnb when they go to China. If these are experienced Airbnb guests, then they start to give the hosts a good experience. Like, you know, they treat the place respectfully, they, you know, sort of follow the rules. And so creating this critical mass of trust that is necessary for the practice to take off involves convincing the guests and convincing the hosts. And Airbnb has an advantage over the China-specific competitors because it's already solved half that problem. It's convinced guests around the world that this is a legitimate way to find short-term accommodation. So they may have a head start there relative to a service like Uber where, like, you know, the drivers and the passengers are all from Shanghai in Shanghai, or a site like Google where all of the searching is done about Chinese language, you know, content by Chinese consumers. Airbnb can sort of inject the international guests into the system. And so they have that in a way that other U.S. platforms didn't have. And so I'm optimistic about their chances.
Some users of Chinese microblogging site Weibo are equally optimistic. VOA intern Mingmin Xuan found one who wrote, "I had a great experience with Airbnb in Chongqing. The hostess was super nice and warm." Another said, "I always use Airbnb while I'm in Shanghai. It's pretty nice. Those Airbnb super hosts are all nice." But Xuan also found a lot of skepticism from Chinese netizens about Airbnb. Some think a lack of trust among Chinese and cultural differences with America will be a barrier. One user wrote that she had just rented an Airbnb room in China and was worried for her safety. We also found a Weibo post saying Airbnb room prices were so high that Chinese express hotels would be a better choice. And then there was a post predicting Airbnb would suffer the same fate as Uber, which retreated from China earlier this year after failing to compete with Chinese rival Didi Chuxing. What do you think of Airbnb's strategy in China and chances of success? Share your thoughts on Twitter at @VOAChina360 and on my Facebook journalist page, which is under my name, Michael Lippin, as well as on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/VOA-English. You can also subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Just search for VOA China 360. That's all from me. Bye for now.